yet another Short Shoot Show. It's Super League Triathlon's podcast, and I'm very proud to welcome to the show two stalwarts, veterans of the show, both in the UK at the moment. Tim Don is here, and so is Annie Emerson. My name is Will McCloy, and on this podcast, we talk about just about everything from the world of triathlon, all the headlines, whose stocks are going up, whose stocks are falling. We look at a bit of social media and everything else in the world of swim, bike, and run. And we'll start with, let's start with Annie, because we've had to delay a few minutes while she sorts out a camera and her headphones and all stuff. Again. You know, she was like, I won't even tell you what happened with the camera. Anyway, Annie, how are you?
Absolutely fantastic. It's a bit early, and we've done this as a favour because you're solo parenting, and I feel like you shouldn't really be taking the piss of me this morning. I've been up since 5:15 to get on this show and bring my best self here. So
That's very true. All is good. That's very true. I have no wife right now, so I have the kids at home, which means I've made these guys get up at 6:30 in the morning in the UK because...
No. We've been up a lot earlier than 6:30. We have to be ready to rock and roll, which obviously I wasn't. And an hour and a quarter wasn't enough to get me ready. And I also stuck my light from my laptop in front of the camera. And that's why you couldn't see me earlier. But anyway, obviously went to bed.
Why is it black? That's why it was black.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? It's early, right? I don't do my best work then either. I'm not a morning trainer. I'm not a morning human person. No. Tim, you strike me, though, as a man who'd get up at 3:30 in the morning and get two sessions in before this.
Oh, not 3:30, but yeah, no, I do get up nice and early. I don't need an alarm for a 6:30 start, so that's all good.
Listen to him.
You know, just have a little cheeky espresso and I am ready to go.
All right, we're going to get straight into it. This is the headlines. Right, the biggest news in the world of triathlon, and we're going to start with Tim, because when I send out the Google document and I get everyone to fill it
there
in,
we go,
17 seconds later, Tim's like, brrr, like I start the Google document, I write in my own stuff and send it at the same time, and by the time I finish writing the first sentence, he's already written that same thing and I have to give it to him. So
if you're going to do it, you do it. That's what I say. Why wait for tomorrow when you can do something today, right?
Well, when today starts at 4 a.m., you're ahead of the curve.
Not for you, because you're already going to bed. You're ahead of me.
That's true. I can tell you that today is a tough one. So get ready to experience that. I'm on the other end of it. How good is your headline, by the way? I'm going to let you read it out because I just thought that it's just like
the alliteration,
the assonance. It's mwah, magnifique. Go for it.
Alex met his match in Metz with Matt.
There's
a house point right there.
Alex.
And for those who are not, that is the French Grand Prix. So we had the second round of the French Grand Prix. They're going into a break now till the end of the year. And the winner was Manny Hauser and Alex Yee, the first defeat he has had in quite a while, I would say. Since the grand final, that was an Olympic distance. But over the sprint distance or shorter, I think it's his first defeat since 1862. So that was absolutely massive. But putting it into context, Matt is coming off a red hot run because he just won the last round of the WTS. I'm sure when I were a lad, I used to do the French Grand Prix and I used to go in not fresh and tapered. You know, it's just a bit of racing experience, but I would always expect to get on the podium and hopefully win them. So I don't think Alex would have been fully tapered. Just the nature of Matt's season, he would have been, but not out of kind of choice. It would have just rolled off. When you race so close together, you know, that naturally happens. But the thing that really actually will stick, I think, in Alex's mind and everyone else's, there was a break in the swim. So Jamie Riddle, Kinji Nina, Dorian Connex, we'll talk about his Buffon later, and Maddie Hauser. They got away in the swim and they worked their arses off, especially Matty and Jamie. Jamie's had a bit of trouble lately, a bit of injury. He's flown back to South Africa to lick his wounds and get ready for the second half of the season. So they had a lead over Alex and the massive chase group. But the biggest thing was is Maddie Houser still ran 2 seconds quicker than Alex Yee. Yeah. And yes, Alex Yee would have slowed down at the end. I did watch it. But Maddie Houser did slow down as well. So he did all of that work and he still ran quicker. It wasn't a fresh Alex Yee, but nevertheless, a defeat is a defeat. And looking back, I think Alex will be, like just thinking, damn, these guys are closing the gap towards me.
But how do you think?
Great racing. Great racing.
Do you think that he will relish that challenge? You know, having been, you know, up against Hayden Wild, for example, you know, one of the top runners in the sport, and he's been getting the better of him every single time. Do you think he will enjoy that competition? That'll just give him, you know, another little bit of something to grab hold of and go, okay, he doesn't need to work harder, but the challenge is good for him, so he just doesn't sit back and cruise. Which I doubt he ever does, but do you get what I'm saying? You know, has he enjoyed being beaten?
Yeah, no, I do. I think he will, but I think he'll also at the back of his mind go, it was a sprint distance. He'll have a line of excuses, which are not excuses. They are that. Like, I'm sure he did half a track session on Thursday. You know, I'm sure he did the full threshold swim on Wednesday, not half the threshold. But nevertheless, a defeat is a defeat.
Yeah.
He has also pulled out of Hamburg. I don't know if the Federation entered him strategically, because they enter a top-ranked athlete,
yeah,
pull them out deliberately, and then they can sub in someone like Will, a slightly lower-ranked athlete, if Will wants to learn the course. So I don't know if that was strategic or that was a knee-jerk reaction. But look, listen, Alex has got his eyes firmly on Paris, firmly on the grand final. He wants to be world champion this year. He sacrificed a lot in 2022 to be world champion. And by his high standards, he fell short. But I thought it was a great... Matt's come in from Australia. He's moved in with his girlfriend back in Australia. He normally lived with the lads. So obviously that's working really well for him. He's now based in Girona for the summer season. So I'm really excited to see him race again and take on this European part of his season, you know, full gas.
So he moved in with his girlfriend and then immediately went to Europe, which is the best way to do it.
No.
This is the best way. I moved in, but I moved in remotely. So, like, my stuff is there, but I have not experienced it at all. That actually sounds,
doesn't it? It's like a storage facility.
Exactly. I'm taking up one room in her house and I don't have to pay rent with the boys. So that's great. But, you know, full credit to Alex that we talk about him, like, running a couple of seconds slower. And you're like, then Matt Houser, who just won the WTCS race, and you're like, oh, is he off the boil? That just shows you just like how good he is and how dominant he has been. Hasn't lost a race this year, but then obviously he's only raced a couple of times. Having said that, he is the form athlete. Annie, speaking of the form athlete, your one, you didn't go with any kind of, you got to, okay, from now on, only pun headlines or like, you know, something like Alex met his match in Metz with Matt. Like, it's hard to follow that.
It was a bit slack. I'm going to put my hand up to that one. But Beth back on top. Sorry.
Oh, I got Beth Potter does it again. But you did put 3 exclamation marks after it, which does help.
It does help, doesn't it? It gives it a bit of...
But I don't think that make a surprise. Beth Potter does it again. I'm like, I'm not surprised. Are you guys?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but I think
Beth Potter does it again.
But I think, you know, watching the way, you know, she's kind of raced this year, like, you know, I guess there were doubts years ago. Could she find the swim? Well, she's absolutely found it. She's had an incredible season. Cagliari, she was a bit off the boil there. And then she came back and by her own admission said she didn't have the best race in Montreal. And but still managed to win convincingly. It was an awesome victory. Love her posts on Instagram. She truly knows how to celebrate. There's a really good picture of her in the bathroom drinking a glass of champagne. Girl after my own heart. But then back in the gym now and training hard, and she'll be focused on the rest of the season. But the domination of the British women again is just, I know you don't want to hear it, Will, and think I'm being biased, but no one can argue against it.
No, I mean, you are, but that's okay. We all are. No, that's okay. I've got Matt Houser to fall back on now. Yeah. I've got Matt Houser And I've got Jay Hindley to fall back on now, who's got the yellow jersey. So I don't care. Do your best. Yeah, do your best. Australia's back on top.
I get it. It's taken a long time to happen, though, hasn't it? So, but no, the British women are just awesome. And sorry, Beth does it again. Beth back on top. Whatever you want to say. Exclamation mark. Girls on fire.
Yeah, and fair.
I think it's also important to say that it wasn't a weak field. No. I mean, George Taylor Brown was in the field. Sophie Caldwell. It wasn't like some of the best weren't racing. I really think year in, year out, her rate of improvement, we need a stat, we need a graph. She is improving year in, year out. And if she keeps this trajectory right, man, she is going to be dangerous next year in Paris. I really, really, really believe that. I'm so impressed at her work rate. And yeah, as you said, she knows how to celebrate dressing gown and champagne.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're 100% correct. It's all shaping up for a run at Paris. And, if there's an all UK podium in Paris, I think we'll have to stop the show. Like, it'll just be me and Macca from now on. Possibly deal with that. But even when you're talking about the other strong athletes, you're talking about other British athletes like you mentioned there. And I mean, you're not a man who only references British athletes. They're the strongest athletes that are out there at the moment. So, and he's 100% correct. And like, what's cool about what we've done in those first two headlines, and we don't do that on purpose, but they're all Super League athletes. You know, we have the best of the best. We sharpen the skills, especially when it comes to sprint distance races. It always tends to be Super League triathlon athletes that are at the pointy end. And to that end, my headline is just called The Big Reveal, which is not clever either, Annie. So,
I don't know, The Big Reveal. I was a bit, obviously I'm not on it at the moment, but I was a big reveal. What's he talking about? And I'm looking at these names and because I miss the SLT championship season. I'm like, what are these people all got in common? But you can tell the world, Will.
I can. They have all been revealed as locked in as part of Super League season 2023. And I think what you're going to see from season 2023 is obviously we're going to have the best athletes, but the caliber of athletes that have missed out, like we've gotten to that point, 5 years of Super League, there are now a lot of athletes who have been there in the past who want to be there, but there's no room for them anymore. So as the quality gets higher and higher, and we can announce and see Tim knows everything, but what we can actually reveal, because Tim's got a stack of contracts next to him on the desk, I think, there, which we're not going to be able to see.
Ink is wet on some of them, literally.
Well, if it is, it means you've spilt your espresso. Alice Beto will be back again. Jess Fullinger will come back. Adrian Brifford will be there. Vasco Velasa will come back and go round two in Malibu with the seal again. Leo Berger will be there, the world champ. Kenji Nina, I wouldn't like to ever have a Super League without Kenji. I feel like he's really fits the mold. He's like another Vasco. And then at the top of all of them, we will welcome back to the fold Christian Blumenfeld for the season, which is there any race that man will not do, Tim? Like, how does he fit all this stuff in? I don't understand it.
I think there is one race he won't do, and that is a beer mile.
He'd be terrible. He would be terrible.
He would be. I think, as much as you have this vision of the Vikings kind of like raucous with an open fire, the wind, the snow blowing in. Nah, I think Christian's like, my lactate is too high. I cannot drink the beer. it is the bubbles. The bubbles on the throat. I don't think he'd last. But seriously,
he wouldn't last in Viking times at all. Like, he would not last. He would be one of the first killed, I think, in Viking times. But like, that's by the by. We can have that debate later. Carry on.
But then, like, I mean, I love it when we roll off the names and we casually drop in the current world champion, the current Olympic champion, Vasco, who's a podium finisher. I mean, and this isn't the best of the... I mean, this is the best of the best, but there's more to come. And we've already announced, in the first round, we've already announced the stack of athletes. This is, like... This is becoming the Formula One. This is the race series everyone wants to race. And yes, I am biased, but let the names speak for themselves. I mean, Bifford from Switzerland, he's just on a red hot roll now. I mean, he podiumed at the European Games. He podiumed at the European Champs. He's moving up to consistent top fives in WTSs. This is the race series that people want to race in. And I just hope they're all in my team. I want them to be Eagles.
Yeah. Well, yes, and there's so much more to reveal when it comes to the teams. I mean, everything's going to be a little bit different this year. There'll be new stuff. There's rumors flying around all over the place. I don't even know all of it myself. It's going to look a bit different. It's going to be faster. And there's going to be just, I just want to see, like, I want to see Vincent back. I wonder whether he's going to be any good or not. You know, I want to see everyone in top form. We'll see Henry back. Ah, it's going to be great. Ah, it's going to be Bahrain victorious.
I lost you there, Will. What did you say? Well, I just heard the wings of an eagle swooping down.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting for you. I don't know who you're going to end up with on your team. I don't know how it's all going to work. But and you obviously, you know, with names like that and so many more to come, I think we're going to see what's going to be an incredible four rounds of racing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's going to be the best season yet. I mean, what an incredible lineup. And when you've got that many, you know, great athletes on the start list, you know, the showdown is going to be massive because they're all going to be wanting to win. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Léo Berger race, big fan of his. And, you know, Christian's going to be an interesting one. You know, it's been a bit of a roller coaster so far this year for him. I think it's safe to say in terms of the shorter distance. And, you know, Super League is a whole another level in speed and distance in terms of how short it is. So it's going to be the best season yet, without a doubt. And it's just great to see so many athletes coming on board and wanting to be part of it.
I wonder whether he's not just like biting off too much, you know, and we talk about that, like, you know, like he could be so good if he just stuck in his lane to one lane or even two lanes, but instead he's going to take five different lanes and try and do everything and never quite get to the top of any of, I mean, he's already at the top, but like,
yeah, so I was going to say, you know, I mean, he's Olympic champion. He's the 70.3 world champion. He won in St. George. I mean, he is at the top. He just got a top 10 in WTS, having not raced them properly for a couple of two seasons. You know, again, I think his uncoming, as you said, could be biting off too much. But I think his team have realised that. And now they are, you know, it's still early in the season. Let's see how he goes in Paris at the Olympic test event. But if he keeps on improving over the distance of racing, then I think he will knock one of them on the head. And I do hope it's Ironman, because I would love to see him defend his Olympic title in Paris against Alex, against Hayden, against Matty, against Leo, against Vasco, you know, against all these other athletes. So let's give him a chance. But he's definitely improving with WTS at an astounding rate. You know, the first one of the year this year, he was nowhere and he got top 10. No one just jumps back into a top 10 after two WTSs unless you're the Olympic champion and a Viking who can't do a beer mile.
Yeah. Well, I wonder whether Gwen Jorgensen could do a beer mile, because it's not working out for her in the other arena as much as that. Let's go to the stock market right now. Right, the stock market, where we go, who is rising and who is falling? Whose stock? It doesn't have to be a person. It could be a thing in triathlon. It could be, but I think they are, boy, there's some groups in here as well. There's all different kinds of stuff. We're going to start in the stock market with Annie. Annie, who is your rising stock? This stock has risen basically all the way to the top. You can't even buy it anymore. You can't afford it.
I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think on the last podcast we were saying, oh, like what's happened? You know, she left Brett and Brett Sutton, she went back to him and she was having a really wobbly moment. And then she decided to go to Switzerland, 70.3, smashed that. And then she went to Roth. And as everyone knows, I guess, who's tuning in, I doubt there's no one that doesn't. She knocked 10 minutes off the world record, like, and just with such an outstanding performance. I don't know how she does it. Swam probably one of the best swims she's ever had.
Yeah, are you going to mention who you're talking about? Are you going to mention who you're actually talking about?
Angry Bird, Daniela Reeves. Sorry, I mean, I just like thought it was obvious, wasn't it? Obviously,
it kind of is.
Yeah, well, I guess for anyone who doesn't know, Daniela Reeves, not 10 minutes off Chrissy Wellington's long-standing world championship Ironman record.
Well, what do we call it? The world record.
World fastest. But I think like what's interesting about Daniela as well, some people forget, they just see her as this long course athlete, and some people who haven't been around as long as Tim and myself don't even realise that she finished seventh in the Olympic Games in Beijing back in 2008, you know, a top 10, you know, at the Olympics. And I think, you know, that career is so long now. And you know, gosh, will this give her fire to keep going? Or will she say at the end of this year, she's 36. I mean, gosh, she can keep going as long as she wants when she's come back. I think it's safe to say, last podcast we went, well, is this the end of Daniela? And now we're looking at the completely revived new world record holder. It was just a phenomenal performance from her.
It's such a phenomenal performance. Like, broke all sorts of records on the way. A 4:22 bike. The marathon was awesome.
251 marathon.
What is with that course? I know it's a bit short. No, is it? But it's only one.
Yeah, it was actually 3.75 swim. It was 178.8k bike and 41.5 or 41.6. Kilometer run. So it's about 5 minutes short, but still, just that's from two people I know raced. I've seen their Strava files, athletes I work with. But still, I it's within tolerance, because that's how triathlon works. It's not like a marathon that has to be exact. Don't get me. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, you know, I claim that at 8:08:21 to be able to knock, as you say, 10 minutes off what Chrissy Wellington did. And that was in 2011. How long ago was Chrissy Wellington's record? But it stood for a good long while, over a decade. So
yeah, 10 years.
So it's no flash in the pan, and obviously, you know, Magnus Ditlev did basically the same thing to Jan Frodeno's record on the same day. So a perfect day for racing. But you've got to say, Daniela Ryf. Yeah, we did talk about her having a stomach problems. You could see it on the video that she wasn't comfortable and she pulled out of the run in Ibiza, but that was not her distance. Her distance tends to be 8 hours long, and we've just got put back in our box in a big way.
We did.
From the Angry Bird, and she was very happy. So, and what an epic event that is too. Like 300,000 people. I think there was more people there than there ever was before. That is an event that you've got to go.
Have you ever been to Rough?
No.
Rough's the size of Wagga Wagga. 300,000 people. That means there's what? 180,000 cars at least? No chance. Absolutely.
That's what they said. That's what they claim. They go through a lot of towns, you know, and everyone turns out. There's no way to know.
Have you seen? They're not going through Munich. They're not going through Frankfurt.
Well, that's what they claim. How many do you think were there? 100,000?
Loads. I've no idea. I wouldn't care to guess, but 300,000 is a rather large number. You know, how big's the MCG?
100,000.
So can you imagine three of those full watching a triathlon?
What's a very long course? So it's very hard to know.
I'm with you, Will. What an old misery Tim is. I think that was 300,000.
So last year they said 250. I bet you next year it'll be 350,000.
There's probably a tipping point where it becomes unrealistic, but they're just going to claim it.
Really? That's not what I'm saying, is it?
God, you've become so jaded in your old age. You hit like 55 or however old you are, and suddenly,
piss off.
all right, so I don't know how we did a rising stock and we ended on a bad note, but let's do a falling stock and see if we can't end on a good note. Annie, this is a headline from 220 Try that you picked up.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting one. It was, can the Norwegian hype train go to the distance at Paris 2024? And it was Mark Allen's verdict. I mean, I'm not going to argue with Mark Allen. And, you know, it's safe to say I'm not an Ironman athlete. I only went as far as the long course in Nice. Tim knows a lot more about Ironman than I do. But I think he said he feels like they're not recovering. And I think, you know, Tim, you've already pointed out that, gosh, he hasn't raced WTS much at all over the last 18 months, yet he's still able to pull off a fifth place. Gustav hasn't fared so well. We know his swim is a problem for him, I would say, safe to say, in Olympic distance at the moment. So his best result has been 32nd, and that was in Montreal. So they've got a lot of work to do. What the great Mark Allen was saying is, have they given their bodies a chance to recover enough? You know, in his day, the training was very different, but I guess there are similarities in the sense that both camps are equally dedicated to what they're doing and the end result, right? And he just said, you know, have the guys recovered enough? And if they haven't, they're in trouble. I don't personally think they're in huge trouble, but they've got some work to do with Paris just around the corner, which it is, right? It's a year away.
Yeah, I mean, life's moved on since Mark Allen was doing his thing in his flat shoes and whatnot, I suppose. I don't know, but like, we've already discussed it. Christian shows us that it can be done. I mean, I don't know. Gustav's had other personal issues, so I'm sure he's not being as focused. Maybe he hasn't put his best foot forward.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what they exist for, these people, to prove us wrong. No, Tim, like, to go, no, you can't do that. And, like, what Christian's race schedule is, for example, is absolutely ridiculous in August, but he'll go and do it and he'll get good results.
Yeah, I think the game has moved on. And I think what if we take Hayden and Alex, you know, if Alex got injured, you know, all of a sudden you'd go, oh, Christian could defend his medal. You know, I think he's specifically focusing on maybe what two athletes which are raising the game in you know, short course racing. But the science is just like, it's light years away from what Mark was doing, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. It really is. Taking absolutely nothing away, because back then what he, you know, the kind of, you know, training philosophy and load was just phenomenal.
But the equipment was different too, right? You know, so.
But that, I mean, we're not talking about how fast the equipment's a level playing field, because everyone today is using the same equipment as they were back then. So Christian has got the same, you know, access, or the Norwegians have, to everyone else. The fact, and going off tangent here, the fact that there are other Norwegians improving at an alarming rate as well is, you know, if we look at recent races. So there is definitely something in their philosophy and madness. And I think Mark needs to go to, is it Bergen, and chat, sit down with Olaf and have a chat. And I bet you he changes his mind. But they are, it is a risk. I mean, as Will said, they're, you know, their race schedule in August is insane. Well, they fly in from Paris after the test event that night to Singapore to 48 hours later race the PTO race. I mean,
and then to Finland for the 70.3 Worlds, the net, like 4 or 5 days later.
And in between, they're going to Taiwan for a sponsorship commitment.
It's just bonkers, isn't it? I mean, it's...
Honestly, it's like, you know, and I know that we can fly in business class, but unless you charter in blooming, you know, a jet, that is just absolutely mind-boggling. But if anyone can do it, who could it be in the world of triathlon? Is it going to be Jan? No. Alex? No. Could it be Christian? Yes.
He's very resilient. Looks resilient. He is resilient. He doesn't get injured. He's just a resilient human. So, I mean, he also believes too. Like, he just believes that he can do it. Yeah. So he does. I don't know. No one else would even try it. So it's a moot point, because no one else would be so dumb. Yeah. You know, athletes, like, sometimes I ask athletes for some, like, a 30-second video, and they're like, no, I'm racing in 12 days. I don't have time. I'm pregnant. What are you talking about?
That is so true.
This guy's I'll just fly anywhere. I'll fly anywhere and do anything. I can't do this. I'm like, you could do this video while you're on the toilet. I'm sure you're not doing anything during that period of time. I'm sure you could fit it in. Anyway, all right. And he's done rising stocks down here, re-falling stocks, the Norwegian hype train, or Mark Allen. We haven't really decided, but someone's falling there. I'm going to go next. You know, I always go last. I don't want to go last this time. So, because mine is kind of connected to yours, Annie. My rising was the goats on top, and I'm talking more about, well, obviously Daniela comes back, and wins after we wrote her off. Jan Frodeno hasn't had a podium in 2 years, or hasn't won some, hasn't won, no, maybe he hasn't even won on a podium in 2 years. And then he comes back at 70.3 Andorra and has a big battle with Jonas Schomburg, which I didn't know Jonas Schomburg had middle distance chops, but there you go. And so he's suddenly back again. It's good to see him win again. He obviously relished that one, and now he goes off to Nice. He goes back to Andorra and does his training up at Altitude, where Hayden Wild now lives just down the road. And then Nice. I don't know what's going to happen there for him, but this will be the end. So do we think that based on that performance, which I think was a 4:25 in Andorra, that he has any shot at the pointy end in Nice? Thoughts, hopes, dreams, feelings, Tim?
If Jan's on the start line and he's not injured yet over middle long distance, yes, he's definitely got a shot. When was the last time he did a competitive Ironman and really executed it well? That's the only X factor next to his name. Middle distance is different. He's been to Nice already. He's ridden the course. He's changed some of his equipment. But everyone's done that. Patrick's been there. Joe Skipper's been there. Camworth has actually raced there the week after he did an Ironman. I think that would be an amazing performance if he does win it. And what a way to... And I presume... I don't know. Is it official? Is that his last professional race or last championship race? Or are we just reading between the lines here?
I think we are. I think that what I... Because we've done some work with him with Bahrain, he alludes to it, but has not out and out said, I'm done after this. I think
depends
what happens
on his performance.
Has something to do with it. But I think you'll keep racing, but not the major ones, but we don't know.
Let's put it this way. If he doesn't go into that race as the favourite, who would we put as the favourite? That's what we need to think of. Yes, he could get on, who else could beat him? He's going to swim up the front. We know he can ride the hills. We saw that. Even though Schomburger did put 3 minutes into him on the bike. At one stage, and Jan was quicker on the descents. But I hope he does it, because what an ending. Don't we all dream of going out, ending our careers as a world champion, dropping the mic, so yeah, good luck to the fella. And I think his downfall could be getting injured. Fingers crossed.
Well, fingers and toes crossed that we at least see the big dog on the start line when it comes down to it. Another one I want to mention on the Rising Stocks, Taylor Nibb, who has joined the Trek cycling team, does the time trial nationals, has not ruled, she came fourth in that, hasn't ruled out continuing to ride at the same time as she does triathlon, but then she also went back to Montreal and she finished sixth. How good is Taylor Nibb on the bike compared to everybody else, and can she make it as a cyclist at the same time, like a reverse Cam Worth? Is that a possibility? Like, because she just blows everyone out of the water with what she's doing. No, not a chance, Tim.
No, I don't think so. She also got a penalty in Montreal because she missed race briefing. I think it works for Cam because he's based in Europe for a start. If she's really going to race for Trek Segafredo in tour races, then she needs to move to Europe. And she doesn't strike me as someone that's going to do that. Also, I don't know. And again, technically, we saw her crash twice in Abu Dhabi last year in the grand final. Those women, their technical skills in that pack racing is just phenomenal. Doing a multi-stage race, I think that'll put a multi-day race that could put too much stress on her. I think, she got fourth. Who's the Canadian time trial champion at the moment? Who is the current Canadian time trial champion in women?
Mate.
No idea.
I have no idea.
Paula Finley.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she won it again. So, in terms of the caliber of cyclists, yes, she's good, but I think they blew that sponsorship opportunity, because to do the time trial champs, you need a pro start, a pro license. So, I've actually raced for Specialized Factory Racing. I've raced the stage race against Chris Froome. It doesn't make me a pro cyclist, but to do it, I had to get a pro tour license. So, I think they really capitalized on that. I think she's really got no intentions of doing a classic, doing a Liège-Bastogne, doing a Tour de Femme sponsored by Zwift, et cetera, et cetera. I could be wrong, but amazing cyclist, amazing cyclist.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely argue that the talent's there. You know, I agree with you technically. You know, I mean, cycling's changed even in triathlon from the very early days when, you know, triathletes' technical skills weren't so good. They've definitely improved massively. But then again, you look at the cyclist and it's a whole nother level. But she fundamentally has what it takes because she has the engine. But you seem to know a little bit more, but you're presuming that it's the case that she just needed the sponsorship to take part. But I think in terms of her looking at other racing, yeah, I mean, she's so young still. You know, if she chose to do it, but is she just going to dip in and out? But I think fundamentally she has the talent. But I guess talent isn't just enough, and you need a little bit more than that to make a real go of it.
Yeah. Well, her manager says he wants that to open the door to more cycling opportunities, but of course that's what they say. That's exactly what's going to happen. My falling stock, unfortunately, is Alistair, because where does he take the start line in these? He has two more chances at an Ironman Switzerland,
This weekend.
Yeah, it is. And then 2 weeks later at Lake Placid, and that's pretty much it. So what's going to happen? Because obviously they entered him, and like he probably had small chances of being able to be there, but obviously you enter and then you pull out. But do we see Alistair Brownlee in Nice? Tim?
I hope so. You know.
Me too.
I really hope so. But the closer we get, the more unlikely it is to be. And if he does make it, because we're getting closer, his preparation will not be... perfect's the wrong word, will not be as good. If he'd already qualified, he'd be 100% focused on Nice. Well, now he's got to focus on the race to get him in the race. So even if he does do it, it won't be, you know, the top Alistair in Nice. But I think it's a long shot. I tell you what, don't do Nice, Alistair. Come and do London. Come back to the family. We want to see you in West India Quay. Flying those eagle colours.
Well, I think he's going to be in town on that weekend, so for other commitments. So why don't we just twist his arm? I mean, let's not ever show him what happened to him in that first one in Hamilton Island. I don't know if you've ever gone back and had a look at the race. It was pretty ugly. It was not excellent. So let's hope that doesn't happen again. Yeah, running out of time. So if he doesn't race this weekend, he's got one more chance and then we're not going to see him. Let's hope it doesn't come to that, because you want to see all the biggest names in the biggest race. Your stock rising, Tim Dong. I was there. I would agree with you, but what was it?
It was the Arena Games in Singapore at the Olympic Esports Week. You know, as Will said, Will and myself were both there doing the commentary. You know, it was just... You know, I think it was a showcase to the right people in the right world, i.e. IOC members, that Arena Games is an amazing mesh of a sport and the entertainment, the E, the computer, the Zwift, the animation. And yeah, I was blown away. We had a youth and junior teams, four teams, Asia 1, Asia 2, Australasia, Europe and North America, five teams, sorry. And it was a team relay format, and it was a duathlon because of the it was a 750 swim, a 6K bike in Scotland on the crit course there, and then back to a 750 run, and then the next team athlete went, the next athlete, and then the last one started. It was just great. I mean, it was set inside an arena. It was on a stage. There were flashing lights. There were fireworks. There were Megatron screens. I just thought. Wow, this I can really, really see this in the Olympic Games one day.
Well, you know, I agree. I think that I was, first of all, in that convention center where they had it, I could not believe the setup that they have. Like, esports is the future in a lot of ways in this next generation. And Tim and I are walking around like looking like undercover cops because we're too old to be in there, right? So everybody's like...
We did look good though with our makeup on.
Yes, we had a lot of makeup on. You can see it on Instagram. Because they're a little bit more careful about that than they are at Super League Triathlon. So we had a full inch of makeup on. But when you get involved in the Olympic movement, like they do everything to this level that's, you know, yeah. just It was amazing. And obviously they're going to invest a lot in esports. But, and what was great about having arena games there is because there was only a couple of sports that were had an athletic capacity to them. Because and there were others where they had these guys like this, you know, just scrolling and playing archery on the phone or whatever, which is like true esports. But it, the arena games, and they had cycling by Zwift as well. It was a great showcase of how you can mesh it together, like Tim said. And, you know, they might end up being a permanent esports Olympics each year or each couple of years. And that they might, I feel like maybe they'll go in the direction of like putting the actual like true esports in there, like Gran Turismo and stuff where there's not. But when you've got ones that mix the athletic capacity like we do, sky's the limit. And there was, as Tim said, there was plenty of IOC members, high ups there watching and listening and very impressed with how it went. So also full credit to all the juniors who went out there on a stage they would never have experienced before, you know, as young as 15 years of age. And there was, I've never seen, like it was the lights and cameras and action were serious. So, and they performed. So that was awesome. And Oceania won. Continuing our Tour de France / WTCS / yeah, esports.
With an Irish coach.
And irrelevant. Eileen is a true Australian name. Forget the couple of Olympics that you went to. But yeah, yep. A Team Oceania dominating. So that was awesome. You've also got Katie's, speaking of being awesome, coming back like Christian and finishing fifth in WTCS, Katie Zafiris, same thing. She is right back in it. Like, she is on it again.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I did put two of my stock rising. I mean, she got fifth in a WTS. You don't go from, oh, I'm on the start line. Yes, I've just made it. I've flown here. I don't know if I'm racing. To then getting fifth a couple of races later. You know, that's where she belongs. But to belong there, you have to earn it. And, she, you know, since that medal in the Olympics in Tokyo, she's had a baby. She, you know, she's now on her way back to Paris. And I think she'd have been asking herself some questions at the beginning of the year. Is it possible? But after her last race, getting fifth, and as we said, the race that Beth won in Montreal, that caliber of field, you know, she will be absolutely believing that she can make the team. And self-belief with an athlete with her physical ability is a dangerous thing. So I was so, so happy. And she's a lovely woman. And I'm so, so happy to see, to see her perform, you know, back almost to her best with so much more to improve on.
Absolutely. And so good to see her racing, and maybe we see her racing soon, Annie.
Yeah, and the pressure, I think, to go to a race and actually not know, you know, you probably spending quite a bit of money. I mean, I guess she's getting supported by US Triathlon, but, you know, that pressure, leaving her boy at home and not knowing whether you're on the start list and flying all that way, it's like, bloody hell. And then you get fifth. One thing about, I think, Katie is, like, she wears her heart on her sleeves. If you look at her on social media, talking a lot about post-pregnancy, what it's like to have a kid and to race internationally, but she leaves no stone unturned. I love watching her, the way she preps for a race. She's such a consummate professional. And I think that's one thing we used to say to her about in Super League is her preparation going into every single race. She knows every aspect of a course, everything she's doing from start to finish. And God, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see her just going from strength to strength now.
Yeah, I mean, and I think about, when I think about Katie, obviously, and having her son, whose name escapes me right now, but having Tommy, who also is on the tour as well, I don't know whether that's a benefit or a, like, because he's obviously got to travel too. He's a photographer, he's involved in everything. Sometimes it'd be better to have your spouse at home so that you've got that like solid base, but at the same time, he gets it. So like, and he's been there and done it as well. So I'm sure that whatever they've got going on and how they make it work, it seems to be, oh, Kimball.
Yeah.
Only child I've ever heard of called Kimball.
I like it though. It's a great name.
I agree. I'm all for names that like are super unique, and Kimball is certainly one of those. Maybe not. Maybe
Will.
In that area it's not.
Will.
Yeah.
Very unique.
That's why I like unique names. Will. William. Will. No one's ever been called that before.
Yeah. William.
Okay. Sorry. Tim and Annie.
Hey, I'm not the one that's saying my name. I love unique names or anything. God.
Yeah, no, I like them. I didn't say my parents liked them. My parents like nothing like that. Like, one day I'll tell you the story about why both my sisters are called Jen. Both of them.
What?
Okay. Yep.
Jen 1. Yep. Jen 2.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
No. That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
Oh my God.
We don't have time for that story, and maybe it's not the platform for it, but I will tell you that one day why they both got the same name. It's very strange. Anyway, falling stock. Okay, I'm going to word for word this.
Don't read this out word for word, okay?
Are you sure?
Are you sure? You can. There's two there. Okay. There are two, actually.
Yes, okay, there is two. Okay, so Tim's very polite and nice when you meet him in person, and he's polite and nice when he's on the podcast. But when he writes in the document, he lets his inner feelings fly.
Yeah.
So this one, and there's heaps more down the page, but it said, USA men, they are all shit or just not racing. And then the second one was, what happened in Lords in the long room? This is a cricket one. Bullshit. Right? So first of all, USA men, they are all shit. Discuss.
Kevin McDonald, the Olympic medalists for the team relay. Kevin McDowell, Morgan Pearson, you know, where are they? They're not racing. You know, Chase, you know, ever since the debacle in London, he hasn't performed. He hasn't top 20, top 30. Seth Ryder, you know, we saw him 2 years ago in the Super League take the bike jersey and get top 10. Since then, he's gone off the boil. You know, if we're comparing apples with apples, the US women to the US men, you know, the Federation are looking at a team relay. They know and they need, you need four good athletes. You can't do it off two good athletes anymore or even three. There is potential there. That's why I say, I'm not saying they are shit, but I'm saying I don't think they are performing to their true ability and I don't know why. Chase McQueen and Seth, they are lead pack swimmers. McDowell and the other fella, Morgan Pearson, they are world-class runners. I mean, Morgan Pearson's run a 61, 62 half marathon. We saw him at the grand final last year. I'm sure there are injury and other forces at play. But at the end of the day, I hate to say this, and it's so, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. No one cares what goes on. If you know, they just look at results. You know, we're guilty of that ourselves. We don't look at the background and the personal circumstances. And if we just look at pure results, the WTS ranking, Super League ranking, you know, the athletes are really just not performing. They really aren't. Show us your true potential.
So they're all shit, is what you're saying.
But at the moment, their stock is falling. The Lord's long room, I can only apologise for my fellow countrymen. Oh my God.
Oh, can you just tell Piers Morgan, right, whoever that guy is, to get right back into his box? Because wow.
Yeah, I mean, anyway. Can you imagine walking off? Yeah, it's not football when you walk down the tunnel at an away game and you're used to getting it. But, you know, you play to the whistle, as my dad always used to say. You know, he hadn't called over. It is what it is. But yeah, that was just embarrassing. So I do apologise.
But can I ask Will a question? Do you think it was unsportsmanlike behaviour?
To run him out like that? Or
I'm not saying it. I think the jury's out, but he thought it was the end of the over, didn't he? He thought it was the end of the over.
Well, he did, but the umpire didn't call it the end of the over. Yeah. So
no, I'm not saying
within the laws of cricket.
Yeah, I'm not.
There's like the problem with the reason why that all blew up is because there's a whole history of like there's just a whole history, right? So with the Australian cricket team, and everyone wants to say they're cheaters, but it's within the laws of the game.
It is, absolutely.
And they asked the umpires, and the umpires were like, "That's out." And he's like, "Awesome!" Like if it happened the other way around, and the English had done that, and which they have done before multiple times, 100%, they would have done the same thing. Like it just went against them today, that day. So that's, you know,
and we were on the back foot. You know, we'd lost the first. You know, we're totally on the back foot as well. Yeah. You know, in the Ashes, it doesn't look like we're gonna. It looks like Australia are going to retain them in three. But I just think regardless of whether it was sporting or not, you know, what do they say? Humble in winning, gracious in defeat. And, you know, we didn't show our best face, I didn't think, off the pitch.
We've got completely off-piste here. It is a triathlon podcast. I know. It's not a cricket podcast.
It is a triathlon podcast. But, like, to be fair, there couldn't be a bit like a – one room with more privileged white males in it. Like, I'm trying to find the names.
No,
of like
I disagree. I think we have lots of places like that in England, Will.
Yeah, we do. Plenty of
That's
them.
Probably fair.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Anyway, for everyone else who's not from England or Australia, I apologise. It's about a cricket match. And also, just Google cricket and then you'll find out. And so we've done Tim's stocks rising and falling. Sorry, Tim. And now it is actually time. It is actually time now for Social Watch. All right, we're cutting it back because we've gassed on for 50 minutes already about all that kind of stuff, about the cricket as well. We're just going to do one clip for Social Watch today. And, you know, I played this one to Tim before we started and he didn't think there was any joke in this one whatsoever. This time, it is an interview that we're releasing very soon, which is with none other than Lionel Sanders, which was recorded at the Arena Games in Montreal. And if anyone hasn't seen that, he was an absolute machine, ended up finishing sixth overall in that one. It was an incredible performance from a guy who hasn't raced that kind of short course racing in a long time. And this is a clip from the upcoming interview, which we released in a week or two.
My peak is still to come. Yes, Mustafa, I believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, Jan is the best, in my opinion, Jan's the best to do it, the best all around, the most consistent on the day when it was time to do the best. He was able to peak at the right time. And I believe he was 38 when he won the 70.3 World Championship and ran what a lot of people would say is the best run off the bike. He went toe-to-toe with Brownlee and Gomez in South Africa. So he was 38 then and then came back the next year in Kona and broke the course record completely unchallenged at 39. So I'm 35. I turned 35 a couple days ago. And so it's not to say, oh, you got lots of time, buddy, but like, I think the best guy to ever do it did his best performances at 38 and 39. And so I think I can do the same. And that's what I intend to do. And this is the beginning of that.
So that was Lionel comparing himself to Jan, which everybody else does as well, you know, from time to time, obviously with all the high class long course athletes, saying that he still has time, right? Because he's like, you know, I'm 35. And then Jan didn't do his best work until he was 38 and 39. And then when we looked at that before, you know, Tim, you probably have a
an objection to that.
But like, hold off, Andy. What I want to know what you think first, because like, is because Lionel at the end of it, he says, you know, and you know, the journey to that starts now. And I'm like, but it hasn't started now. You've been trying to do that for a long time already. Like, so. But he does chop and change, and he's like, right, now is the beginning. I'm going to go and do this thing or whatever. But, is he ever going to be that guy?
We don't want to. Yeah, the interview was interesting, really interesting. I like a character in sport, and I think he is, he's a real character. Whether you agree or you don't agree with what he has to say, he's very open about, I like his discussion about, you know, where he's come from, like he's replaced one addiction with another. I think he's quite an open book. I think he reinvents the wheel as he goes. You know, he's made a point about saying, if I don't get there, but I've given my best, then that's okay. I have to accept that that's all I have to give. It's a really interesting interview. I think Tim's got a slightly different opinion. I like the guys, you know, open way of speaking. I think he's entertaining. And I think in sport, whether you agree with what he says or he doesn't, we need athletes that entertain us on and off the pitch. And he does that for me.
Couldn't agree more, Tim. Will he ever make it to that level? Will he? I mean, but the guy's won like 70.3s. Like he's made it to the level. You know, but like, will he ever?
How many world titles has he won?
Well, yeah, okay. It's by the by. Yes.
No, listen, I agree with Annie. Like, he is a breath of fresh air in our sport. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He gives amazing content. You know, he is. You know, I love the guy. He. You know, when you get up close and personal, like in Montreal, and see how much energy and effort he puts into that race, he would chew off his arm to finish a session, and that's not even a race. You know, I've got so much respect for Lionel, and if you want to be the best, you've got to try and emulate them. And you know, over Ironman distance, Jan is the best, and who better as a role model? But it's not as simple as that. I mean, in 2004, Jan won a medal at the World Under-23s. You know, in 2002, 2003, Jan was on a junior development program with Germany. What we're seeing now is a result of what he did 20 years ago. And what was Lionel doing 20 years ago? I just don't think it's physically possible, especially the way he flip-flops from this coach to that coach, this diet to that diet, you know, to this kind of training, to that kind of training. He's so up and down, and he kind of like, he's 100% belief in what he's doing, but what he's doing changes every 6 months. And it's the boring, like that training day we just saw in Social Watch. It is the boring chopping wood and carrying water that gets you to be a champion. And I feel when it gets to that stage and it doesn't quite go right, he changes everything. He changes his whole backroom staff, or he goes, I don't need a backroom staff. That's my worry. But his documentation of it all and his presentation is amazing. What him and what Lionel and Talbot Cox do is just brilliant for the sport. It really is. Will he ever emulate Jan? No.
Oh, like, I think you're probably correct, but he's going to hit his ceiling. Like, and yeah, that's all you can ask for from anyone.
Absolutely. And I want to be part of that journey and watch it. I really do.
Yeah.
He lets us in. He shows us an insight into who he is as a person, and the emotional, you know, stress and energy that he brings to this sport. And I absolutely love that about. I'm on his Discord channel, so I follow him a lot on there as well. And it's brilliant.
Yeah, like, so what really pisses me off like a lot is, you know, social media is full of people, you know, they're like, here's my morning routine and I get up and I do this 7 mile run and I, you know, like, and but everyone's just faking it, right? And
like Social Watch.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, there's all these influencers out there. I tell you, like, what I'm doing or whatever, but they're not always doing that shit. And, like, No one lives it. Like, this guy just lives it. And, like, I've only had a brief period in his presence, you know, like, when he was in Montreal. It's the only time I've ever met him or whatever. But in that time, I saw him, like, sit in a heat chamber for 3 hours and then fall asleep at the back of the briefing because he was racing an hour later. And then watching him race in person, like, when he was completely cooked and he had no chance, like on the swim and come back into it, like this guy lives his, like what he says he is like, and I think that's awesome. So for him to even get to this point, having done all the stuff he did when he was younger and to be able to turn it around to get to the point that he is at, I don't care if he doesn't get there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if he doesn't win a world title. Like he'll be one of the most influential triathletes ever. You know, he's probably put more people in the sport than anyone else, or at least right up there. So I just, a guy who lives authentically like that, I don't give a shit whether he wins it or not. You know,
let's get him to Malibu. Wild card in Malibu.
I'm with you.
I would love that. Is that what's happening?
No, come on, man.
God, bro, I just, where's that contract?
Easy, Will.
Like, but that's what I mean. Like that, like,
yeah, no, any, I agree.
Be any other name, like any other name, it'd be like, oh, that's cool. But you're like, Lionel's going to come.
Morgan
like, oh,
Pearson, shit. The greatest American. No, hasn't done the same thing. Sorry.
Oh, he's got the same kind of running style. You know, so there's that. It's fast though. It's really fast. Okay. So, you can watch that full interview and it's as intense as you would expect it to be, up very soon, face to face on the Super League Triathlon YouTube and across the social channels. So keep an eye out for that. And now it's time for the breakdown where Tim has done the same thing again. Annie, let's start with yours. Let's go with something feel good. And this one certainly seems to be that.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm all over this one. Absolutely brilliant. There was a pause.
It seems like it.
Into some social. Okay, so absolutely.
No, you know what? Fair enough. It did sound like that.
It did.
Fair enough.
It
carry
did.
On.
Yes, I was just following your lead. Triathlon Impossible, Martin Clark, what an awesome guy he is. I went up to Wigan a couple of years ago, actually last year, to support him on his quest to do 7 half Ironman in 7 days, raising money for the Rob Burrow Foundation. For anyone who doesn't know him, rugby league player, amazing guy. Suffering with MND, motor neurons disease. And Martin Clark is just one of life's like really good, selfless people. No ego, no nothing, just became aware of this horrible disease and wanted to do something about it. Couldn't just sit back and do nothing. And then this year he did Triathlon Impossible, which was for me like something that was, you know, these are just humble, ordinary people. These aren't elite athletes or anything. He started in Germany, swam 7K, rode 700 miles through Europe in horrible heat waves, and ended up finishing with an ultra marathon. He had a target of raising around about 17,700. He's just hit that target. I think he'd hope to raise a little bit more actually for those efforts, but still a phenomenal effort. It really was. And I take my hat off to the guy. He does it out of the need to support and help others. And I think it's a disease that's close to his heart. He has a friend locally who has lost 6 members of their family to motor neurons disease. And he's just out there supporting it. So Triathlon Impossible, 800 miles, starting in Germany and finishing back at the Lee Valley Sports Centre, was an amazing effort, finishing last week. So a big round of applause to Triathlon Impossible and Martin Clark and his team.
Well, I wonder whether, like, look it up, because, you know, it might be possible to still be able to donate if you think that's something that is worth donating to. I'm sure that there's still a possibility to do that. My one, I came across this guy, I just couldn't believe it. So, you know, ultra triathlon is another world, and it's full of people like maybe that are like Lionel Sanders, basically. And this guy, Robert Karak, anyway, he's a Polish guy. He just completed a Deca Iron Triathlon. Now, Deca Iron Triathlon is 10 Ironmans at the same time, you know, one after the other. So times everything by 10, and that's what this guy did. He did not a 3.8 kilometer swim, a 38 kilometer swim. Not an 180 kilometer bike. He did 1,800 kilometer bike, and then he did a 422 kilometer run, and he now has the world record for that. He already had the world record for 5 and 3, and now he's gone for 10, and he did it in 164 hours and 14 minutes, which beat the previously held record by 18 and a half hours.
It was a close race. It was a close race.
Absolutely smashed it. Like, what kind of, like, so nine, like, this is an actual race, right? It wasn't just him doing it on his own. They actually had a race in Brazil, and because you can imagine what the conditions were like. And 9 athletes finished the race, which I think is actually awesome to be able to. I mean, I don't reckon, like, if you added up all the training I've ever done, it would add up to that.
Don't tell Michelle that. She'll go, no, she hasn't done the training. He's not ready. He's not championship ready.
Oh, you can't fake the Training Peaks account, mate. It's come straight out of the Garmin. Although she does set me, like, today was like 3K swim and I did like 1600. I was like, you know, that's enough.
I've had enough.
I've been tapering for 5 months. But I just think that is, like, you know, obviously it's a very small niche, but it, like, that is an amazing feat of mental duration to just keep going for that long to win a race like that.
And the crazy thing is normally it's done in a swimming pool because of logistics. You can't swim open water, 38K in a swimming pool. And when they get out, their fingers and toes are so wrinkled that they have to get hair dryers on them to, like, get the fluid out. Normally the bike is on a loop course of about 10 miles, about 15 kilometers for safety issues. So can you imagine 1,800 kilometers and the run is again on a, it's not like, you know, 212 kilometers out, 212 kilometers back. It is like on a 5-6K loop. So just the mental focus for that.
Oh, I would say the absolute mental disintegration that I would experience about 1% into that would just be complete and total. Like,
I do think technology, because I think, can you remember Eric Seedhouse, Annie?
No, I don't.
He was one of the original, if you Google Eric Seedhouse, he was a Finnish guy. He was one of the original Red Bull athletes, and he used to hold the world record for that in the 90s. But the technology now is massive. But man, I could not imagine racing for 164 hours. At least with the Barclay marathons, it's a bit different. You know, you're running through the forest and that. This is just like, how do you train for that? I'm not going out for a 6 hour. I'm going for a 6 day bike ride. I'll see you later, darling.
I'm going to go for a swim. I'll see you. It's like not a time thing. It's like not a clock. You're using a calendar. You're like, I'll see you in May. This Eric Seedhouse guy is an astronaut as well.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. You're on the Google. He's an amazing fella. Like, if you actually look him up, which you obviously are doing.
Like, imagine this is the absolute alpha sentence. Upon returning to the world of academia, the author, he embarked upon a master's degree, supporting his studies by winning 100-kilometer running races. Like, yeah. He just alphaed everybody then. I'm paying for my master's by doing 100-kilometer races. You're like, well, you're the man.
Yeah. Also, no, he is, honestly. Yeah, it's worth Googling him on the train if anyone's listening.
I'm way ahead of you. You know what? Post the link in the show notes. If we were a proper podcast that was like professional, that's what we would do. All right, so you've got 17 things, right? So some of them have been answered already. So I just want to hear one sentence out of you and or Addy on each one. Will Ali race? We've already covered that.
No.
Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
In Nice? No. Okay. Sam Laidlow's calf tear. One sentence.
Oh, but
he's in trouble for Nice.
Yeah, he's in trouble. He's in trouble.
Hmm. Alex and Sophie Colwell, Alex Yee and Sophie Colwell, both pull out of WTS Sunderland. Oh, interesting, Tim.
Alex was strategic. Sophie Colwell should have raced and has decided not to for one reason. I don't know why. Personal opinion.
Annie, anything to add?
No, don't have anything to add. I mean, slightly worrying because you always want to race on home soil without a doubt. You know, an athlete, British athlete, doesn't pull out lightly. So I guess more will be revealed as the time goes on.
Who will be in the French mixed relay team at the Paris test event? Annie?
Oh, gosh. Emma Lombardi, Cassandra Beaugrand, Léa Berger, and Dorian Connex.
Anything different from you, Tim?
I mean, who finished on the podium in the last WTS? Leone. So I've no idea. That's a conundrum within itself. No idea.
No Leone. We don't know where Vince is at. He's probably too far away. Who else is there? There's someone else. Pierre Lacour.
Vince Lacour. Pierre Lacour as well.
Oh, what a team. Well, they could have two teams, basically. They could field two teams. How will Hayden beat Alex?
He's got to try something different. He can't wait for the run. He's got to try something different.
Seems like it.
He can't.
Annie?
He can't. He can't beat him. I love both athletes, but I don't know. Yeah, I think Tim's right. He'll have to try something a bit different. You know, we have seen, like, we saw an amazing swim from Hayden last year, didn't we? Where he, you know, if Hayden ever got in, if he ever got in the front pack, then, you know, Alex might be a bit in trouble if he's not also in that front pack too. That's the only way it can happen. I think if it comes down to a 10K run, Alex is going to win every time.
Oh, he's just got to use those bike skills and just punch it and then give himself some kind of gap, I suppose. But you just see Alex, she's just eating the gaps up. I don't know. Anyway, was Daniela's Roth performance the best ever by a female over the iron distance? Yeah, anyone disagree with yes?
Yes.
Agreed. Will Vince be ready for the Paris test event and Super League triathlon?
He is running on the Alto G treadmill, the anti-gravity treadmill. So I'm going to say yes, but not at full fitness. He has to race because it's a political move for him. If he doesn't race, he gives another opportunity to someone.
Annie?
I think it's tricky for him.
Can Norway now win medals in the team relay after they snuck in on the European Games?
No.
And won that?
No.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay, all right.
Christian and Gustav weren't even in the team and they still won. And I know no one else had their A team, but momentum is a powerful thing. And those Norwegians are cooking some Viking stew up there that is untouchable.
What's this whole Viking thing you've got going? I've been going for an hour and 10 minutes. When is Flora racing again? Anyone got any insight into that?
No.
I haven't heard from her since we just absolutely panned her last video, Annie, looking in your direction. Well, maybe she's licking her wounds from that response.
No, it wasn't for me. It wasn't like, you know, God.
Legal letters have been sent.
No, no one takes anything away from the immense athlete as she is. I just felt she needed to. Oh, anyway, she'll be back.
I agree. Yeah. Well, hopefully she's getting a bit of that oomph as time goes on. You know, obviously got her in a bad moment on that one. Dorian Connex's hair, what the hell? It's not the exact thing that's written there, but what the hell, I'll say. The blonde mop. Hey, what's happening?
What's happening?
I don't know. It looks like he's had a fight with a can of bleach. It doesn't look great.
And he lost.
The Collins Cup got canned. What's going on with that?
Year three.
Couldn't make it work. Couldn't make it happen.
They were comparing it to the Ryder Cup. When was the last time the Ryder Cup got cancelled? PTO, look after the athletes. Sort your shit out.
Okay. And last one, will Will be world champion in Hamburg?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes. No. Come on. No. I want a YouTube video about it, Lionel Sanders style. I am on the plane. Yeah. I am going. I am now in Singapore having a break, doing my gym work at the gym. I want it all documented, Will. Come on. Give it.
Come on, guys. I'm going to take you through my 1.6 kilometer swim session. Anyway, it's all tempo.
Just don't tell my coach Michelle.
that's a good place to finish it. I'm going to give you 60 seconds, Tim, to do 60 seconds Hopebox, but you've got a strict 60 seconds, okay?
Time penalties in triathlon for being late at briefing, washing your goggles in the water on the start line. That should be a money penalty, not a time penalty. Things like spitting in sport, it's an endurance sport, should be a penalty, a money penalty, not a time penalty. You get these are stupid rules. Penalties for littering, I get that. You throw a piece of litter in long course, you get a penalty. When you're riding along and a water bottle bounces out, people are getting penalties for that. That is absolutely stupid. Why do we have number belts? These are stupid rules. You know, we should have, I know marshals need them to say number 66, you're crossing the white line. Have 66 on your arm and your leg. Number belts look unprofessional. They look absolutely rubbish. Another stupid rule, 20 meter rule for drafting, 12 meter rule, race ranger. We need everyone to come together, tell me how long I've got, and come up with a one rule. We don't have an offside rule for the Premier League, an offside rule for something else. Roth, the 50-meter shoe rule is absolutely stupid. Why do we have that? I think that is rubbish. They should stick with everyone else.
Love it. Love it.
Is that it?
That was
what we want. You covered like nine topics and you smashed them all. And you did it in exactly 60 seconds, which is excellent because Annie has to go and take her kids to school and they're going to be late. So we have to go right now. That is the end of the Short Shoot Show. We finished on a high. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Annie. Stay tuned for plenty face-to-face with Lionel Sanders coming out soon. Super League, heaps of announcements coming as well. So stay on the website, stay on the social media, and we'll be back very soon.